shit. It's been a while, huh? Fuck. I don't know where to start with this. It's September 16th. Last podcast was July with the old Eric Wahlberg. And man, what have I been up to? Well, you know, after both got pretty hectic with the medalist races, and I was on the road, and to be honest, I was at the end of my rope. I was a tired fella. But yeah, maybe instead of just trying to find exactly where we left off, let me just tell you where we're at. Name is Michael Creed. You're listening to Open Mic. This is a podcast where I talk to people that I normally know. Sometimes I don't know them. And we just try to have a conversation, I guess, with Twitter and text messages and, you know, like, this sounds so stupid, but just with media being whatever it is, and quick and turnover and whatever. We have very... not a lot of conversations. If you think about it, like, how many conversations, like, do you have a day? And, like, the brilliant thing with the microphone is when you put the microphone down and you say that it's on, people have to listen to you. Or, like, they have to be engaged, you know? Like, they can't check their phone and they can't do those things. And it's like, I really like the authentic moments because, you know, I pick well. Not because I'm a genius, but because it's obvious. But you pick people that you want to have a really nice conversation with. And sometimes they open up, sometimes they don't. Most of the time they do. And, yeah, so basically that's what we do here on this podcast. The royal we, including you guys. Yeah, fuck, guys. So look at this. Season's over. We won the NRC. We won the UCI Americas Tour Individual. We won the UCI Americas Team. We won the National Championships. I mean, we got the yellow jersey tour to Utah. Just, I don't know. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm really, really happy. And I'm under no illusions that, like, we could do it again. I mean, I would never bet that we could do it in the first place, let alone do it 2 years in a row, you know? So, like, I'm just trying to remember the feeling of this. And just, like, how lucky I am that the team was successful. Because, you know, you made so many sacrifices in your personal life. I mean, really just catastrophic things, you know. And if it wasn't successful, like, I don't know where I'd be right now, like, what kind of mental space. And between the podcast and the successful cycling team, like, I've just gotten contact with really good people, and let me close the door. Yeah, like, it's put me into contact with really, really genuine people, you know, and I really appreciate when people come up and tell me that they enjoy the podcast. I still do have this weird thing when friends tell me that they listen to the podcast. I'm almost not very comfortable with it, you know. Ted King is a big advocate of the podcast, and I like Ted King. And I've told Ted that he should do his own podcast because he has friends that I don't, and Ted knows how to hold a conversation and is really engaging and has his own story. And I still always kind of squirm when Ted says that he listens to the podcast and he enjoys it because it's almost embarrassing in a way because, like, I don't know, he's Ted King, and I'm just this guy randomly talking and maybe getting too personal, you know? Fuck, I don't even know where I'm going with this right now. Maybe we should start with who's on the podcast. Phil Gaiman. He's back. Didn't really have to edit this one, unlike the last one. But Ted's back. Everybody knows Ted. Did I say Ted? Phil? I'm going back between the two. Here's the thing. Phil Gaiman. two parts, right? You'll get a little bit more of Phil next week. After that, we got the Ted Kinger. So, excuse my mental inadequacies here for a second. Anyway, everybody knows Phil's story. Successful author, successful cyclist, quite the personality, a really genuine guy, somebody that I think that there's not enough of in the sport, but it's also kind of nice that there's only one of them because it makes him that much more unique and awesome. So I really appreciate Phil taking the time between. I did this between Utah and Colorado. So got him a little too drunk, and I really feel like I did my team a solid. His team, my getting him to the imbibe spirits may have cost the team the overall. I'm fairly sure that's not true, and I know it's not true, but it's nice to take credit for things. Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're still sponsored by Carl Cyclist. You guys want to go over to Carl Cyclist? I got a brand new website, remodeled, revamped, ready to go. Go check that out. Tell them, send them some tweets, send them some love. Let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring the podcast. And Laser's back at it. You guys tweet something to Chris. Tweet something to their main account. Say something nice. Say something funny. Say something cute. Say something desperate. Chris will hook you up with a helmet. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Like, cycling has brought me into contact with people like this who are just, like, willing to help out, who just want really unique, different stuff out there. And I guess I just called myself unique, but what? Ugh, shut up, Creed. You know, I feel like this is, like, one of those moments where you can be, like, really deep and thoughtful and say something, but I just don't know if it's there, you know? Like I have such an ego on me that, like, I want to sometimes make every... When I talk about, like, how you really feel about something, you want to make it sound different and, like, unique, because I'm this unique snowflake and I need to strike a chord differently every time, you know? I don't know if that's true now, you know, like, no, your feelings are probably pretty similar to everybody else's feelings, so when you talk about them, they're probably going to sound pretty cliche, so if we're going to go down the cliche route, I just want to tell everybody, it's been a very trying year for me, and a very, very successful year for me at the same time, and, I've really leaned on the support of my riders and my team and the podcast and the people around the podcast like Leslie. And it's really been I've been lucky, very, very lucky. That's it. And, like, I recognize that I'm lucky and I'm happy with it. So... with that being said, here's Phil Gammon.
Finally, there was my cousin Sonia. In addition to being the most beautiful woman I had ever seen, she was one of the few people I could have deep conversations with.
Boris, look at this leaf. Isn't it perfect? And this one? Look. Oh, yeah. Yes, I definitely think that this is the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah, it's certainly the most expensive.
Isn't nature incredible?
To me, nature is the, you know, I don't know, spiders and bugs and big fish eating little fish and plants eating plants and animals eating. It's like an enormous restaurant. That's the way I see it.
Yes, but if God created it, it has to be beautiful, even if his plan's not apparent to us at the moment.
Sonia, what if there is no God?
Boris Dmitrievich, are you joking?
What if we're just a bunch of absurd people who are running around with no rhyme or reason?
But if there is no God, well, then life has no meaning. Why go on living? Why not just commit suicide?
Well, let's not get hysterical. I could be wrong. I'd hate to blow my brains out and then read in the papers they found something.
Boris, let me show you how absurd your position is. All right, let's say that there is no God and each man is free to do exactly as he chooses. Well, what prevents you from murdering somebody?
Well, murder's immoral.
Immorality is subjective.
Yes, but subjectivity is objective.
Not in any rational scheme of perception.
Perception is irrational and implies immanence.
But judgment of any system or a priori relation of phenomena exists in any rational or metaphysical or at least epistemological contradiction to an abstract and empirical concept such as being or to be or to occur in the thing itself or of the thing itself.
Yeah, I've said that many times.
Boris, we must believe in God.
If I could just see a miracle. Just one miracle. If I could see a burning bush or the seas part or my Uncle Sasha pick up a check.
We should go back downstairs.
I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. If finding somebody real is your fucking problem, bring your girls to the crib, maybe we could solve it. Hold up, bitches, simmer down. Take a hella long, bitch, give it to me now. Make a thing pop like a semi or a nine. Baby, like a rock with a shimmy, shimmy, y'all. Except get like me. Never met a motherfucker fresh like me. All these motherfuckers wanna dress like me. Put your chrome to your dome, make you sweat like heat. Cause I'm the wigger, the wigger, wigger. Like how you figure, gotten figures. And fucking bitches, should roll the swishes. Brought her bitches, I brought my wiggers. They get in bent up off the liquor. She love my licorice, I let her lick it. They say money make a wigger act wiggerish. At least a wigger, wigger rich. I be fucking broads like I be fucking bored. Turn a dyke bitch out, have a fucking boy's beast. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. Yeah, I like to fuck, I got a fucking problem. If finding somebody real is your fucking problem, bring your girls to the crib, maybe we could solve. I know you love it when this beat is on. Make you think about all the wiggers you've been leading on. Make me think about all the rappers I've been feeding on. Got a feeling that's the same dude that was speaking on. Oh, it hurt my album, who you sleeping on? You should print the lyrics out and have a fucking reload. Ain't a fucking sing along unless you brought the weed along. They're just okay, I got it. Drop down, get your eagle on. Oh, we can stir up the stars.
Dude, like, just stand in front of Ben and King and just, like, look kind of, like, sheepish and, like, toe in the ground. And say, we might put this on.
I don't know how to do that
yet. I'll
give
you 30% off.
Well, that's he just bought some. He got some podium legs, and he was in them for like an hour and a half yesterday. He was stoked.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for that tweet, Ben. I'm waiting to see that Twitter come up.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of like, to me, it's implied. He's gonna do it. Ben's a nice guy.
Is he though?
Yeah, he's a real sweet boy.
Mm,
but there's like that's what he's selling. But there's cut out all the part where I talk crap about Ben King. You're gonna have to edit that.
Let's be quiet. Let's be perfectly quiet for 3 seconds. Ready? Ben King is a really nice guy.
There should have been like one, like the trail edge of an F-bomb at the end of that. But no, it's funny. Like a lot of people, I'll give books to or something, and to me, like it's implied that you're going to tweet it because like someone paid for that, and then you know it just doesn't really necessarily happen. A lot of them. That's all right. Maybe they didn't like it. That's better. I'm gonna be quiet about it.
That's what happens when you're in DS. You get a lot of phone calls. Unimportant phone calls.
I need a call. Who is that that we're ignoring? I don't know who that is. Okay. Edit that. Edit out who my group is ignoring.
3 seconds. And we're back.
Marcotte again on the phone? Marcotte,
I know. I'm the greatest director ever, Eric.
I need Stars and Stripes shoes.
Have you found me Star and Stripe bandana yet that I can wear around like Hulk Hogan with my shirt off?
That would work for him. Not that I know him at all.
Fucking Marcotte.
Yeah?
this fucking guy. I've never met anybody like this guy. I mean, he's...
No, that... Okay, that I can tell.
He, Instagrammed a photo the other day. I doubt you saw it. And this... I'm, like, trying to say, like, how can I describe this guy in, like, a very, like, one concise, statement. So he Instagrammed a photo of, this bird that he was, while he was motor pacing, this bird flew into him and knocked himself out.
And he saved it? Caught
in the middle of motor pacing, right. Slams on his brakes, turns around, and starts...
I did see this Instagram.
Photo, like, starts feeding it Osimo from his...
Yeah. Polar,
and then he tagged all his sponsors and went through the whole... So not only is he great for the team on social media...
But he's completely insane. Did he eat the bird after? That'd be a great ending if it was like a chicken
finger. I feel like it was my duty to not let anything go to waste. The bird didn't make it.
Right.
And seeing how I caused it, I couldn't
waste. In Arizona, they use all parts of the bird. He's got a feather in his helmet like Keel next week.
That happened. I forget where we were when that happened. And I feel like I almost passed out at the wheel when I saw, when somebody was telling me what they were looking at. I'm like, wait, what? Who is this guy, man?
I just see a dude, a lot of times he's like alone at the lake with his dog. That's all I know about Marcotte. It's from his Instagram.
Here's what, like, I don't get though. Who's taking the photo?
Oh, sometimes shit.
He's in the photo.
Maybe the dog knows how to take photos. You can train dogs, right?
You can. Marcotte is literally the best. He's literally...
Okay.
He's literally the best.
But it seems like it.
You couldn't... You've had enough and you can't get enough at the same time.
He's really good at being Marcotte.
He's fucking amazing.
Nice. Alright.
He doesn't realize how strong he is. Right? Like, he has no concept.
It's like Bam Bam?
Yeah. So, like, he gets in these breaks. And then he'll ride everybody out of the break. Mm-hmm. Or they'll sit on him because they're totally gassed. And he would have tacked with, I don't know, like a really sane, like 90K to go. And then complains that he thinks that the people would have made it if they would have, helped him. He's like, you dropped them. He's like, I don't know why that guy didn't help, but I don't know why that guy didn't help me. And you're like, because he was...
This is incapable.
I don't think he can do 480 watts for 10 minutes, man.
Right.
Not his bag. 5'3", no draft given.
Oh, that's a pain. And I haven't been... Actually, I have been in a break with Marcotte. Yeah. It was in a crit. It's Manhattan Beach, and he... And this is the only thing I... This is my only experience with Marcotte, and this is why I like him. It was... We were in a break in a crit where I'm worthless, and it was just like me and him off the front for like 4 or 5 laps or something, and we had no hope. But there was a Garmin 500 Prem, and he didn't sprint me for it. And that's classy.
That is.
That's classy. Like, I was doing more work... But he could have. Of course he could have. He could have taken it.
Sure.
But he didn't. And that was all I got from that day. I think I won some cash. But for the most part.
You had a Garmin 500.
And I'll never forget that. I owe him one.
Were you on Garmin at the time?
No. And now I just have stacks and stacks of Garmin. You wouldn't believe how many Garmins I have. I got 2.
But enough about Marcotte. Fuck that guy.
Okay.
I have to see that guy.
I actually do want to talk about Nationals, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about it?
I want to know, what was your team meeting like? What was your plan that morning?
Did exactly what happened.
Yeah?
I'm not, like, not...
So you're the best director ever, basically.
No, man.
No, okay.
No, I... Literally, like, we just spelled it out. Like, we have 2 guys who can win. Mm-hmm. And this is how you're going to win. This is how you could win.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you can win. And they both did it.
Like, fair enough.
It was 100% like,
right.
It was weird though, because like so this team, you know, like, it's all new and we're trying to do everything, and we come in close a couple times, and then we get to Gila and we have like this crash Gila, and there's Zach Bell, he's on our team, and Zach Bell is like literally worth his weight in gold. Like, you put him on a scale, find out what the price of gold is, that's Zach.
Okay.
Great team captain, calm, shows up fit, ready to rock.
Canadians are always nice too,
by and large.
Yeah, I haven't met a mean Canadian, even like the hot chicks.
gotten shut down a couple hard pretty good.
But all right, never mind.
I don't think you're trying hard enough.
Hate Canadians.
What were we talking about?
Zach Bell.
Zach Bell. Yeah, so anyway.
Who wasn't at Nationals, so I don't know.
He wasn't at Nationals, but like, he had worked so hard for the team, he sacrificed all the thing. He gets in the break in the crit, he's gonna win the crit. They lap the pack. He easily outsprints these four guys. I'm like, wow, this is really great that like Zach's gonna get rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And like this is, and I remember thinking like, this is too easy, man. This was like maybe the easiest UCI win in history. You know, like
right.
It will not.
The field let him lap, yeah.
And he crashes in the last lap, and I remember just being so gutted and being like, of course, why would this happen to us? Like, of course, like yeah, like. And, you know, so when we get to Nationals, and it's all playing out, we're coming in the last lap, and I was just, like, the last finishing circuit, and mm-hmm. I was just like, no, man, this is Silver City all over again. Like, something's going to fucking happen. Right. Like,
it's going to be struck by lightning.
National championships don't happen like this, man. They don't happen to teams like us.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, whatever.
No, that's cool.
It was,
I liked it because it's like the circuit aspect. It's an awesome equalizer because like there's mountains. The mountain was hard. You do it a few times.
Yeah.
But then like if the guys are still there, well now it's basically a crit, and Smart Stop has the advantage in the numbers.
Yeah.
Like whatever we have, we had some we had some World Tour dudes and we had some good legs, but like we're not gonna step to you guys in a circuit race.
No, like McCabe and Marcotte, like with like Julian playing the glue factor, right. Like it's pretty. They're pretty hard to beat.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they're definitely. Yeah, if it was a different course, maybe. But that's the thing, right? It's like everybody makes a big deal about the climb, and you're like, yeah, the climb is really hard, but there has to be like a very dedicated group of guys to not question each other and just go full whack.
Right, and that never happens at Nationals. People are either like,
they're blown from California, they already have some infighting, they really want to win.
Yeah, either they're being selfish, or they're like, inexplicably over-dedicated. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Maybe.
Like, I was in a group, so that day, like, I rode the climb, whatever, and then the last lap I was just cruising in, and it was kind of like, I might as well just finish.
Sure.
Because just, I haven't finished all the races this year. Sometimes it's hard to finish them. So I'm like, this is one I can go another 30K even though it's pointless.
Sure.
And the last lap, like, guys were just gassed in my group, and I just pulled. And we were 8.5 minutes down, 25th or something on the road.
Sure.
And I pulled. 5 minutes ago, they sprinted me. Dudes. And you know what? Like, at first I was pissed off because, like, you don't. That's breach of etiquette in a way.
Sure.
But it's also 25th is important to them and not to me. Let them have it. Like, it was like, all right, fine. Like, it's rude, but power.
Not to play like devil's advocate, but do you think that that's important to them, not to me? Like, I feel like that's such like a dangerous slope to start playing. You know, it's such a dangerous like because you sit there and then like all of a sudden when you start becoming like better than the race or like better than that placing, like. It kind of creeps in, you know, because, like, the guy who got you to this level is the guy who was, like, scrapping for 25th and then, you know, on the
That's
way.
That's true.
The second you become better than the result, like as soon... It would have been like, okay, I'm going to pull because I want to finish. And yeah. With, like, 2K to go, 3K to go, I'm going to sit on. And I'm going to, like, just fucking play with these guys. You know?
That would have been... That's interesting. That would have been, like, a fun way to handle it. I don't know. I think the way I see it is, like, on a big team, your result is the guy's result who finishes best.
In front of you, yeah.
So, like, my result was done. My result at Utah, I won the overall.
Yeah.
I was 25 or 45 minutes back, but, like... That was my job, and if I care about how I finish, then that's almost bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather... I remember being on Kenda at Nationals, and, like, I was supposed to be the guy they were working for, and we missed a break of 20, and nobody rode, and then, like, I killed myself to bridge to the break or whatever, and DNF'd in the attempt, and then I see guys, like, cruising in for 30th, and I was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you shouldn't have that. You shouldn't be able to finish if we already lost the race. Like, this was our goal. But, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have let those bitches take me for 25th. I should have.
You don't want to also
I should have put them right in the barriers.
You don't want to become, like, the patron saint of results where you're just like, let if they're hungry, let them have cake.
But, like, looking at it, like, there were dudes in there who, like, that's what they're going to get. And, like, they're going to be proud of that result.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I won't remember that result, but they can go home and be like, honey, I got 25th at Nationals. So, like, patron saint, whatever, like, that's something that they can hang their hat on that wouldn't mean that much to me. And maybe it should. Maybe in 10 years I'll be like...
No, yeah. I get it. I think you've had, like, you've proven yourself enough for 25th place and whatever.
Fair enough.
But, like, I mean, fuck, dude, you won the first race of the year. Like, do you know, I, like... There's not, like, a lot of guys in the pack that, like, you think, like, oh, that guy's, like, I'm genuinely hopeful for that guy.
Right, there's very few of those.
There's very few of those. But, like, when I found out that you won the first stage of San Luis, like, we were at training camp, and, like, I drove up to, like, some of my riders and told them. You know, like, right. I was in the car, and I was like, dude, you will not fucking believe what just happened. This fucking event. Right. I mean, like, it was... I must have, I mean, dude, like, first race, first pro, like, with the Pro Tour team, am I putting too much in that, or did it feel like this should have happened, and I calm, or
no.
Was your head just spinning?
No, my head was spinning. It was, like, a lot of ridiculous things happened, obviously, for that to occur.
Sure.
But
you dropped people on the fucking brake, dude.
Like, well, they crashed. I dropped a couple of them.
You dropped a couple of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you stayed on your bike. Stayed on your
bike. No, it's true. That's a factor, but I'm not gonna. Yeah. No. No, it was completely ridiculous and like the most awesome feeling ever, and it was kind of hard to believe. But the thing is, too, like the way it played out is, I knew I was gonna win with like 30K to go.
Did you really? Were you just totally calm about it?
No. Well, so what happened? Like we're in whatever early breakaway. They give you 4.5 minutes. No big deal. And then there's a moment, and no one was working. It was me and Mark DeMar were the only ones working, and there were, like, 4 Argentinian, Colombian guys that were just screwed, that were sitting on, and from, like, halfway through
games.
The stage.
They
were no, halfway through the stage, they were like, we're not going to sprint.
Yeah.
Like, all of them were just like, we're not going to bother you. And one guy actually sat up and just went back to the field because it was pointless. And then that guy probably had a bad day. And then suddenly, like... It went immediately from, like, 5 minutes, and then the motorcycle comes up and says, the gap is 12 minutes. And DeMar and I looked at each other like, okay, this is different now. Like, we're going to keep working, but at some point, we're going to have to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
And, we both had this look like, okay, like, there's a yellow jersey at stake today. And then Chan drove up to me so it was just me and DeMar, like, swapping poles the last, like, 50K. And with, like... 30K to go, he came up and said, you're going to have to win solo because you can't out-sprint DeMar. Right. It's like, just so you know, you're going to have to win solo. No big deal. And I was like, all right. And then we hit, like, the last kind of a climb. So I attack because where else am I going to go solo?
Sure.
So I attack, and I got a good gap on everybody, and they were all kind of blown. But then on the flat part, the Argentinian guys who weren't going to sprint, they didn't say they weren't going to pull me back.
Sure.
So, which I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. They're gonna pull me back. So they work for the first time in however long, and they pull me back. And then I'm like, all right, how am I gonna win this race? And then we go into a roundabout, and the cars and the motorcycles go different ways, and I'm on the front, and I kind of like, I'm not sure which way to go. So I tap my brakes. Guys behind me crash. One guy's left. He promised he wasn't gonna sit on. DeMar's laying there, and I'm like, okay, this is how I'm gonna win. It's like. It was like 30 seconds between how am I going
to
do this and
this
oh
30K to go.
Yeah. And it was, but I mean like, and I was waiting for Chan to drive up and be like, yeah, DeMar's, you know, riding, you should wait for him or something. But like, I don't really know what the protocol is in that.
Sure.
And there was a chase group. So like part of me wanted to wait, but part of me like waiting would have just kind of thrown the race away for me and for him.
Yeah.
So I will forever feel guilty about that.
Not for long though. He had the fucking yellow jersey, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he has to justify the.
Like, oh, that sucks, man. But
yeah.
Anyway, I shouldn't have crashed.
No, I think he's secretly mad at me too. Which, but, you know, bike racing is weird.
Oh, that's tricky.
That's the thing. Nobody does anybody wait anymore? Like, there was the famous thing where they all waited for Lance, and then he killed everybody. And I'm sure now, looking back, they all regret waiting for Lance. But, like, I think has anyone waited?
There's a thing, right? Like, so if the power's down, like, if I'm Team A, and I'm just bringing it.
Yeah.
If the pace is already on, and I'm on Team A, and Team B crashes, I'm just like, sorry, right. Dude. But I think it's all, like, the... I think when you get in the last 50, 60K, it's asking a lot, man.
Yeah.
It's asking a lot.
Like, last week, Danielson was having bike trouble at the top of Guardsman.
Right.
Going into things. But it was... I was riding the front, and then Tom's in yellow, and he has bike trouble, and we waited. They waited. But it was just because I was the one riding, and no one else wanted to pull. Like, right. They weren't going to...
It wasn't
something. They weren't going to take that bullet.
Yeah.
So that... And, like, we were probably going to get to the break anyway. We didn't. That was a Dick Adele one, but...
That stage looked awful from the car.
Yeah, it was no good.
It looked absolutely awful.
Yeah, that was bad times.
I told my guys in the meeting, I was like, it's going to be easier in the breakaway than it will in the pack. Because they're going to go slower on the climbs in the break than they will in the pack. So this doesn't make sense, but you have to trust me. Try to get in the break.
Did you get anybody in there?
What's that?
Who'd you have in there?
Nobody.
Oh.
They're all fucked.
Oh, that was a hard day to make the break, though. It was nasty when it went. Yeah.
It was awful. No, I mean...
Yeah, that was no fun.
No, I didn't necessarily blame them for not making the break. Right. It looked awful. But it was more of like a friendly advice.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I hear you.
Hey, if you want to go up the climb like a couple minutes slower than the pack, try getting on the break.
Yeah.
And, that whole day, just like, it was never more than too wide at the back.
Right.
Just like this snaking line out of every turn. Like,
right. That was Ben King. That was Ben King. Like, it was so weird. Like, he just... Like, once
remember
in a while, someone would take turns with him.
Bad things about him? Remember when
That piece of crap. But there was one time where he rode really well for a stage race, just on the front.
Yeah.
Like, he came off the tour, him and House, came off the tour and went straight Utah and then here. I think Ben's done after this, but I feel like House has something else. I can't imagine that.
So, you win San Luis. How was the rest of the season, then?
Well, it all went downhill from winning the first race. That's one thing that I realized. I had a friend who texted me that day, was like, if you quit now, you'll be batting 1,000. And I probably should have listened to him, if you think about it. Because who else has that? But no, it was rough, man. Europe is hard. Like, they say it, and I felt like, I mean, you know, but everyone talked about it, and I was like, whatever, it can't be that bad.
Right.
But no, it is. Like, I put out the same power that I always did, and I just didn't get the results that I used to get in the U.S. It's just like, everyone there is just a lot better, and it's kind of...
Well, you're like, you burn a lot more energy before the climb now. With the quacking and the fighting.
Yeah, everything's so different. Like, I did, I went from St. Louis, we had the Mallorca Challenge, and like the second race there, the team was working for me, because I was climbing well, and it was like a climbing race. And I set a 10-minute power record and finished, like, third group. And I was like, there was this thing where, like, I'm in the group and we're just pinned along. You've probably done Mallorca. You're just pinned along this, like, coastal road, this up and down, twisty kind of thing. And there's no way I can possibly move up in front of me. Like, there's a wheel and I'm going to hang on to it, and that's the best that's going to happen. And I look up, like, two switchbacks, and there's Chris Froome, and he has the front of the field. And I have to get there, but there's no.
Is that like, in that moment, do you feel like this is an absolute impossibility of your, like, in your life? Or do you feel like this is like, okay, this is where I have to get? Or does it feel desperate? Like, what is that emotion you have right there?
I think at that point, it occurred to me that I might have made a horrible mistake. But I didn't like... It was kind of like, I'm gonna see if I can figure this out.
Sure.
Sort of. And it got a lot easier from there. I did 3 days of West Flanders, which, you think that's funny. I rode all right at 3 days of West Flanders.
Did you?
Yeah, dude, like...
I've done 3 days plus Flanders 3 times. I finished once.
Well, okay, it wasn't raining. It was, like, the nicest weather that race has ever had.
Sure.
So I think I was lucky with that. But we had, like, you know, we had Vince Simmerin and stuff. Sure. And
Dresden, Dan Westbrander.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was just, like... He was basically, like, laughing at me on the bus. Just like, oh, this is your first cobble? Oh, this is your second race outside of America? He was just kind of cracking up.
Like, thanks, man. That's calming me down.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But the it's a bonus when no one expects you to finish.
Sure, fair enough.
Like, yeah, their expectations were so low. Yeah,
let's get that fucking
bar. It was like, this guy is screwed. And then with 10K to go, I was, like, chasing down the rest of the breakaway. I was, like, at the front of the finishing circuits.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's right. That's right, Sumi. Take that. And he was like, actually impressed.
Tip of the cap.
So yeah, and then our sprinter crashed at, like, 3K to go, and we got nothing out of it. But, like, I actually was able to do something.
Sure.
And then we had... Catalunya was kind of nuts. But it wasn't bad, either. Like, that was just first...
I don't know where the bar probably wasn't so low for you. I mean, like,
yeah.
You have... You're in Girona, you know the roads, climbing race.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But it was also, like, first World Tour race, and just super intense because of that, and all the best guys were there. It's funny because, like, Americans haven't heard of the Tour of Catalunya.
There's so many fucking races.
Right, you haven't heard of West Flanders either, which is arguably harder.
Yeah, if somebody came up to you and told you that they got, like, sixth place overall at West Flanders.
Right, or Pays Basque.
Yeah, and they said it to, like, most American team directors, they would just shrug their shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Like, all right, well, how'd you do it?
That's great. And, but, like, if you've done the race, you're like, holy shit, you got six overall? Like, the guy on our team, Yuri Kokin, he's won Pinot Cerami and had the old jersey at Tour the Med. So, okay. Like, if you wouldn't know those races, you might think, like, oh, Pinot Cerami, okay, cool. Yeah. That's a Belgian race?
Yeah, it's a Porto, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I downloaded that.
But if you've done it, if you've done the race, if you've done that porn, you're like, oh, shit, this guy's pretty much the baddest thing on bicycles.
Right.
Ugh, there's so much. So, yeah, Catalonia is definitely one of those.
Yeah, it totally was. And I don't know how typical that our edition was. It was, like, raining some of the time and snowing the rest of the time. It was snowing. Race in the snow. And every day there'd be like, yeah, today we're going to protest. And then, like, they'd all puss out because bike racers are dumb that way. And we'd, like, finish, and it was, like, driving snow. And it's, like, everything's numb. You're not even, like, you're not racing so much as just, like, hoping you survive to the bus. But even, like, at the end of that, like, and my job there was super simple. It's, like, bring Andrew Talansky bottles, get to the base of the climb, riding next to Andrew.
See how long it lasts.
Right, and, like, the climb is 45 minutes. You take his jacket off at the base. You tuck the jacket in your jersey. The top, you hand it for him to him to descend, then peace out.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I was literally, like, carrying Andrew's jacket, and, like, that's what I'm there for. That's cool.
If he needs you, get on all fours in case he needs an ottoman.
Right.
Put his feet up.
Right. Well, the last day, Nate Brown gave him his wheel and, like, gave him a push. He flattened in the circuits, and it was, like, crazy hectic.
Yeah.
And that was, like, that was our purpose, was to help Andrew get fourth. But, like, there's one stage there, like, I flatted when the early break was trying to go on this climb, and I was, like, in the back, like, 4 minutes down with, like, 20 dudes who just got dropped. So they were barraging the dudes who got dropped when I flatted, so I had no means to get back to the race. They just brought me back to a bunch of, like, fat dudes who had no business being there anyway. And we're, like, cruising, and finally the break goes and the field stops to pee and we get back in. And, like, that was the only reason I finished Tour of Catalunya, was, like, a conveniently timed pee stop. But then, like, the end of that was, like, stage six. So on the end of that, there was, like, a 20-minute climb and then, like, a 5K descent to the finish. And I was, like, attacking on the climb. Like, it was grouped together, and, like, Ryder went, and I countered, and I was like, I'm actually in the bike race right now. Like, this is a thing. Sport, yeah. Like, it was a highway climb, which, like, America, that's where we're used to that crap.
Sure.
It's not, like, one of those chip seal 4-foot wide, like, you can't even see the front, kind of,
sure, yeah,
Mallorca style stuff. But it was like, all right, maybe I'm not completely hopeless.
Did you need that at that point?
Man, you know how it is. Like, I need that every day.
Yeah, you think?
Well, yeah. Like, to me, like, already, like, I yeah, I won a UCI race this year, and I've forgotten that. Like, I'm as good as the last week, and I think that's something that's like, I don't know who breathes that into us, but maybe it's just low self-esteem.
It's the thing with athletes, though, like, how you can tie your, like, self-worth directly into your result that day.
Right, into your latest result, not even, like, your whole body of work.
You know, one thing that, like, it drove me out of the sport, like, it's more or less the reason I really vamoosed, mm-hmm. was that if a guy had the yellow jersey or he won the race that day, like, there was this, I don't know, maybe I was just projecting it out of my own insecurity, but there was, like, this feeling of, like, well, this guy's the smartest guy in the bunch. Like, isn't he, like, the smartest guy? Like, whatever.
Wait, he says. Wait, you think that about him?
Or I had this...
Or he thinks that.
I think he thinks that. And, like, I think the pack would almost treat him with that kind of, like, respect.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it would drive me nuts. And I remember I had this conversation, I won't say with what rider, but we were at Redlands, and he was, like, maybe second or third or somewhere up there overall. He's riding considerably better than I was. And he was trying to, like, block for his teammates in the criterium. And he was doing, like, the really bush league thing of, like, swinging over the, you know, across the road and, like, you know, trying to, like, you know, block the road.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I remember I told him, you know, I said something to him in the race, like, that's some bush league shit, dude.
Right. There's no, for those listening, there is no such thing as blocking. That's, like, a thing that Cat Fives talk about.
Yes.
But it's not really a thing.
Who the fuck brought up blocking? Somebody brought it up once, and it stayed.
I don't know who made up that word, but, like, it's not a thing. And like, the people, if I'm blocked, like, if someone literally tries to stop me from going somewhere, like, I'll tell you once, and then I might try and knock you down. Like,
there is,
and I won't feel like you don't deserve
there
it.
There is the road is 4 feet wide, and you are a strong enough team where you got your whole team to the front.
Right.
And you are now blocking the road. That is a skill.
Agreed.
And a power move.
We pulled when that. We only pulled that once last week. And I was begging them to do it more often.
But that is a skill and a power move.
Right.
You have to be at the front to do it.
And it's not to be abused is the thing. Like, if a guy has 10 seconds and the breakaway isn't established, then you're not blocking. But, like, if it's been piss and vinegar for an hour and a half, I said vinegar. Piss and vinegar. Vinegar, that would be, that sounds racist.
It's Ben King's new line of vinegar.
Vinegar sounds racist too, if you think about it. Cut that out.
Well, that's because you spelled it with two G's, you fucking
joke. Oh, shit, you could hear that. You could hear that. But like, and this is something that it's funny because I got into it with a couple guys last week, and I've been on both ends of this.
Sure.
Where, I mean, you told the story, I think, last time on this podcast about when I was on Kenda and the early break was gone.
Yes.
And the team HTC or whatever blocked the road.
It's a good
and I, like,
story.
Blasted through them to get to it because I wanted to be in there and they were being dicks. But I'd argue they were abusing it. It was like...
It was every day.
It was every day, and it was like they were being greedy with the size of the break.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a big team, all we have at our... Whatever, we're the yellow jersey team. All we said at the meetings was... We don't care who's in the break. We care how many dudes.
Yep.
Because
normal. Yeah.
We can chase down. Like, I don't care if it's the entire top five overall. If they're all gone and we have six guys chasing them, we're going to bring them back.
Yep.
And they're just going to be tired for wasting the day on the wind.
Yep.
So it's like, so we have that number, and
as soon as that number gets,
we want that to go. And there's, like, usually it's hard for that to happen. It's hard to make that. And we're chasing down 60 guys first. And
sure.
And then, like, the break has, there's six guys that have, you know, 10 bike length gap. And one guy goes and we had to nail that down. And then one more and we got to nail that down. And suddenly you're 30 sprints into it. And Ben King did five in a row and blew back. And I did five in a row and blew back. And, like,
yeah.
And everybody's just screwed. And then the break gets a minute 15. And everyone's like, all right, cool, now we're just going to ride tempo and let it go,
I mean,
and this is
like
the race.
An unbridgeable gap.
Right. Like, yes. The break is established.
You're not going to launch across this, man.
Right. And again, like, that's, I tried to launch across that at Tour California that time. Like, and I didn't make it, and everyone made fun of me, and I was ready to punch them. But then, like, last week, there's guys who try and bridge that gap, and I got so angry. Because, like, I just went through this whole thing.
Yes.
And it was hard. And now, like, you're doing something that's just going to make it harder and it's not going to accomplish anything.
When I was on Postal toward Georgia, the year Lance won it, they had the same philosophy, but Joel Armstrong, and they have the same philosophy as you, but almost reverse. So, okay, the number is 8. Mm-hmm. But I don't care if it's the 8 last guys in GC, and the 9th guy goes. You're chasing it.
Yeah.
And so they would tell Damon Klug and I, so you guys get the first 120.
Damon Klug who?
Damon Klug Armstrong. And sounds he, racist. And I remember, like, very good friends of mine. Like, because they're like, all right, you guys have the first 120 to 160K, depending on how long the stage was.
Right.
And we would be from the front. They wouldn't let you respond from the back. Like, well, what if we just glue? Like, hey, guys, right. Just so you know, like, riding the front and responding to attacks while on the front and loaded up.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Whereas if we...
30 guys back, you can just coast into it.
Bike handling skills and, suave, we can just be the glue. Right. You react a second or two late, you react two up, and you just weld.
Yeah.
How about this? No. From the front, as a team.
That's it.
And
there's like an image of that. And you know what? That's where Danielson gets it, because he's the same way. He gets it from that team.
Mm. So we would do it, and like you'd hit the number 7. There's 7, man.
Yep.
And you would see like your teammate or a friend of yours like getting ready to launch, and you're on the front, and you've been loaded up, and it's only 10K in the stage, and you're so completely foobarred. And you're just like, I remember like almost swerving at him, like, don't you fucking.
I had a couple dudes and I yelled at him. I was like, fuck off, man, you've already got a guy in the break.
Like, you're getting greedy.
Like, A, you've got a guy in the break, and I literally actually said, you're getting greedy. You've got a guy in the break, and you can't bridge that. Like, it might look like it's close, but it's 9,000 feet and it's false flat, and you're not getting there. And you're just going to make me go hard again.
The interesting point of that, though, is that. It's amazing that both people are telling the truth. So the guy in the front, you, Phil Gaiman, saying like, dude, that is fucking stupid to attack.
Right.
You're not going to bridge it. 100% the truth.
Right.
The guy attacking wanted to be an early break because his director said, hey, what the fuck have you done all week? He said, man, just let me race my bike. 100% the truth.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just 100% like, what shoe you put on that day.
Right. It's what your jersey is. And it's funny because I've been on both sides, but I get equally emotional now on the other side as I did back then when I was the victim of myself.
Yeah. No, that's where you are. Wherever you are makes the most sense.
I think it makes me an asshole, though. But
it makes you human. Makes you human to at least, like, you see the contradiction and hypocrisy inside you. Right.
I can laugh at it later, but at the time, I'm still legitimately angry at my past person.
I tell you what, Phil. Like, I still remember that story from California. And, like, that was probably the first time, like, I had, like, really ever thought, like, who the fuck is this Phil Gaiman guy?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I knew of you. We knew of each other. But, like, we didn't ever talk. But when that move, I still think it was fucking.
No one made the move. No great. One ever did the move. Okay, go ahead.
What made the move great was when you got 20 feet out the front and you heard people yelling. You gave them the hey, calm down. I'm just going for a piss move.
That's the move that I did that nobody else has done.
And it, like, I don't know if you can smile from your chest,
right?
Like from your heart, but like I smiled, like I actually was like beaming. Sunshine and smiles at like how cold and calculated this like fuck these guys, I'm so tired of them maneuver was.
They were being greedy. Like, they were doing
he's a pretty punk rock. He's a pretty punk rock asshole right here.
Yeah, it only took me 4 years to go world tour after that. I wonder why I couldn't
well, get ability level, namely.
Right, it's true. No, I told one guy last week where he was yellow jersey stopped to pee. This was actually, I think you guys were in yellow.
Yep.
And he swung over, and it was like, but he still wanted to be in the break. It was a guy in Gabby Devo, and he went, and then of course he came back, and everybody was yelling at him, and it was like, and I took him aside, like trying to be nice, but it came off dicky. But I was like, listen, they're going to remember that you did that. Like, yeah, A, you're not going to make it just because you attacked after.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it. They're going to chase down out of spite first.
Sure, yeah.
And then they're going to chase down out of spite the rest of the week because they remember what you looked like that last time you did it.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't behoove you to try when, even though, like, to him, of course you should try.
Yeah, it's just when you try. It's like nobody's stopping you from trying.
Man. Right, but you've got to be able to be there when it's the pointy end of the race.
You have to go when everybody else is going.
Right.
Like, anybody can go when it's slow.
Right. It's funny how complicated this is. You know what I mean? Like, how many subtleties and, like, rights and wrongs. I was in the break. The stage Danielson won, we'd been, like, half riding, like, controlling the race all week, but we weren't in the GC yet. We were just, like, assuming Tom was going to ride away from everyone.
Sure.
And so we'd ridden a little bit, and that day we were like, Phil and Hanier follow moves and sit on the brake just so it'll screw it up.
Sure.
Basically, like.
Yep.
And we did. Hanier and I both ended up in like a 20-man split with like a minute and a half early, like over the first climb. And we're in there, and it's like there's five guys in there that are not GC guys, but same time as Tom right now. And Hanier and I aren't going to win the stage race. So we're sitting on this breakaway. And there's all these dudes in the breakaway who wanted to stick, obviously, and they're working their butts off. And everybody who comes through the back wants a personal explanation to me of why I'm not working. Yeah. Like, I owe them this, where it's like, sure. I'm obviously, first of all, I know what I'm doing. Like, this isn't my first bike race.
Sure.
So even if you don't know what I'm doing, there's a reason. But second, like, it's really obvious what I'm doing. Like, I want this brake to get caught because we have the best guy in there.
But that goes back to, like, the point of whatever, both of you are telling the truth.
Right.
Like,
they're like, you got two guys in the move. You got two great climbers here. Why shouldn't you work?
Yeah. You guys are, like, two very well-known climbers, whatever.
Right.
Like, well, sometimes you don't have the form. Like, just, you can't fake a fucking climb at 9,000 feet.
I had raced in like 3 months. Yeah. Thought I was going to be crap.
Yeah, so I think there's a... It's funny to me, like, now that you're the director, you can see, like, oh, this makes sense for everybody, and we're conflicting. And
right.
You don't understand how, like, the last day, Yuri...
Since music's playing.
Yuri is... going for the sprint jersey. Keel's going for the sprint jersey. In my mind, like, I'm like, why is United even bother fucking with us? Like,
right.
If we race against them, they know we're going to take the jersey. Like, why are they even bothering? They should just focus. And then you go to United, and United's like, look, man, we're just trying to, like,
get something. Jersey. Yeah.
And you're like,
That was
still, though, you shouldn't fuck with me. You know?
That was a funny moment for all of us, though, because we were all like, Keel's good, but he wasn't going to win that sprint.
Yeah.
And we all saw them riding, and we're all like, I saw it coming half an hour away. Like, they're like, they're going to ride this down. They're going to try really hard.
Yeah.
And Keel's going to get beat for the sprint.
We don't stop.
And then it's going to be more breakaways, and it's going to be like, we had to suffer for that, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, we finally
got the breakaway. And so it makes sense to you to be like, Keel, you're not going to win. Stop it.
No, but like, we also recognized he had the chance to turn. I mean, nobody said anything, but like.
Yeah, but it's just when you're in the car, like, this is the problem with being the DS, is like, you're in the car. You have all this adrenaline energy, and you're sitting in a fucking car.
Right.
You're not on the bike, like, slaying yourself. You're just sitting there, like, like, all right. Like,
you just want to call Tamayo and be like, listen, man, he doesn't have it.
Oh, dude, I drove up to him.
What'd you say?
It's the most epic shit-talking, like, all in good fun.
Right.
All in good fun, but, like, the most epic shit-talking battle.
That's awesome.
Just, like... So, like, you know, whatever, you're not going to let us keep it. You're going to try this, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. And then, Keel bridges to the brake. Like,
oh. That was actually really sick when Keel did that. You
sure,
didn't see
Keel's
that?
Keel's a badass.
I had a front row view of that, and it was like, Keel's going to try that. Keel fucking made that. That was, we were all like.
So, you know, in the race radio, it sounds horrible, because you don't know what my team's doing. You just know that number 66 has bridged across the brake, and you're like, oh,
man, when we were hauling ass, and it was hard as hell, and it was in the gutter, and Keel went, and then he was there. And
yeah.
I was like, that's why Keel is Keel.
Yeah. That's why Keel's a bat. That's a sick fucking pimp.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
Yeah. And then they bridge across, and I pull up to Tamayo, because we're only one car or two apart, and I pull up to Tamayo, and I just give him the finger. And he starts laughing, like, yeah, here we go, we got a race. And then they say, like, oh, Grupo Compacto.
Right.
And he comes sprint, and then, you know, like, our number comes across first. And right. I timed it so when we turned left, I would just cut him off in the car. Just put him in the curb.
There you go. I'm glad to know that's going on back there.
A lot of stuff happening back there, man.
Yeah.
Jonas and I swapped cars for a couple K.
What do you mean? You drove Jonas's car
and he was... I just told him, like, man, we should swap cars and then try to feed like riders.
Oh, how'd that go?
It went great. But like, hey, awesome. Jonas tried to back out of it. He's like, oh yeah, maybe we'll do this in like Colorado or Alberta.
Right.
I told him, like, dude, you know if we don't do this right now, you're never gonna do it.
Right.
Let's go for it.
That's a great idea.
So yeah. But I had like the inboard like Garmin cam, so like, yeah. I turned it on, I told the mechanic, don't tell Jonas's camera's on. So when we swapped, Jonas just gets in, he's just like cursing everybody. So basically, I just got like.
You're knocking loogies in all of his bottles, right?
I got in the inner team radio. I was just like talking to Wahlberg, like, fucking Smart Stop's a bunch of assholes. Not helping us.
Oh, that's great.
What's left for you for the rest of the year, man?
Kind of a lot. Like, I had a chill summer.
Yep.
Spent
some time in LA.
Yeah, I was in LA, and then I did, in prep for Utah, I went to Big Bear for forever. So it was like, no racing, but the same amount of time away from home.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, I guess it turned out to work. I was getting frustrated.
At least you're close enough to home, like your chick could come.
Yeah, yeah, she came for like a weekend, but like, you know, people have a job, it doesn't really, it's rough.
Sure.
But it was like, it was good I did that. But you know how it is, like, when you haven't raced in a while and you don't know, you just assume you suck. I'm projecting my feelings onto your feelings.
Same. You just assume the worst, because it softens the blow.
Right, I haven't raced, and I'm going to be garbage. And then, like, the second day here, I was on the front for a minute. I was like, all right, maybe I'm okay. And then, like, the fourth day, I was like, oh, I'm good. Okay, it worked. Training worked. Like, it was really hard, and I was pissed off. There was, like, a month where I was, like, thought I was overtrained, and I was, like, bitching at my coach. And everything was fine. Like, it was all right. But
so what's left for you? You got this.
I got
you did Utah, Alberta, you did Colorado,
and then I got the one days in Colorado, Canada.
Yeah.
With all those horrible Canadian people.
French Canadians. Oh,
God, the worst. Those are kind of annoying. And then Beijing and Japan Cup. Which is like, that's a short straw situation.
Not going back to Spain anywhere in between?
No, well, I'm reserved for Lombardia. They keep doing this to me. I was supposed to do Austria. And I, like, did a giant training block for that. Like, I was going to...
Did a good race for you?
Yeah, I thought so. I had time. Like, it was after Nationals. Like, I had, like, 4 weeks. So I took a break and, like, did... What's that, 5 weeks? I did a three-week huge block. Like, all the whatever LA Canyons, I was killing it. I did a power test like the last day and I smashed it. I was like the best I've ever gone. And then I think it was like hour 28 into that 32-hour week, I got the email that I wasn't going to Austria. And which, like, I mean, it happens. And I think, I forget what it was. There were like a bunch of things completely out of my control, nothing to do with me. But I can't be like, hey, I'm going good, because nobody knows. It doesn't really matter. It
doesn't matter.
Because like, me going good versus me going average is what I bring two more bottles to somebody, or
you going good in a vacuum, like,
right?
The director needs to see it,
right? And I like, power meter is a power meter, but
I get it all the time. Somebody sends me,
right,
like, I'm going really good, and I'm like, yeah, I know, man, at least I didn't see it.
Yeah, so their answer was like, yeah, sorry, but we're, you know, we'll make up for it in the fall with more racing. So so I ended up staying in California longer, and then I was on for Lombardia, and now I'm reserved for Lombardia.
How did they let you know? I'm curious. Like,
there's a Google Doc of just like the calendar with all the riders on it.
So when there's a change,
it's like
it notifies you, or they notify.
You kind of just check it. I think they tell you when like there's been a bunch of changes. They'll just be an email that hit like, hey, updated the Google Doc before the tour. The doc just went down. It was just like, we're not even gonna act like we know what's going on, or I don't even know.
Sure.
It was, man, being on that end of it, like, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts just seeing like what goes on.
Just tons of like inner team rumors and.
Well, I was like blissfully away from that, but just like the process of like, so my break was starting in May after Nationals. I took a break. I was done for a while, but like June is for guys trying out for the tour, and that's like, was it Swiss and Dauphiné?
Romandy.
Yeah, I guess. And then and so like, if you're not on for the tour, you're not even going to those.
Yeah.
Or if you're not like on the long list for the tour, and then just like, just dude, just like boom, boom, just off.
I'm asking you a question. So like, and you don't have to answer at all.
Okay.
But like, so Millar doesn't get selected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, in my mind, maybe threw a little bit of a hissy fit. But again, this goes back to the like the depending. It depends on what pair of shoes you put on that day.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if Millar got selected, and then like, let's say like a teammate, a good teammate like Rumzas or Van Somrunner,
it was between him and Ramunas.
If one of those guys didn't get selected, right?
Yeah.
And then they complained about it. And then a reporter asked Millar about it. Like, hey, you know, Rumzas, Van Someren, Howes, whoever, Ben King, they're really complaining about not getting selected.
Right.
I feel like Millar would have, like, waxed poetic about, like, oh, you know, this is the beauty and the agony of the sport. Like, the beauty of the sport is that, like, you're only as good as you are that day, and that the team has to make these hard decisions, and you don't choose your time out. And
yeah.
It was really interesting to me to see him pull the, like, well, I've earned it card.
I'm assuming that even he would say, like, he didn't handle that as best he could. But I think it sort of speaks to, like, how intense that is and how important the tour is.
Yeah.
Where, because literally they tell, there's, how many guys are on the tour for Team 9?
Yeah.
They tell 14 guys, you're training. And everybody, and 14 guys know that there's 14 guys. They say you're training to peak for the tour.
Expect
your entire season is the tour. Your start and finish is the tour. And that's all that matters to you. And everything is prep.
Yeah.
And five of those guys aren't going to get to start it. Five of those guys are going to stay home.
Let me check your math. 9, 4.
Hang on.
I think you're right.
Okay. Five guys. So, and like those five guys have their seasons in the trash in a way. Like they can think of that way, but that's how every team is.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah, and then for the team to factor in, like, okay, this guy is a legacy, this guy is his swan song, versus this guy's an up-and-comer, we're developing him to win a stage in 2 years.
Yeah.
This
guy's made all these sacrifices already this year.
Right. Like, yeah. There's every rights and every wrongs. Like, there's a million sides to it.
Yeah.
And then, like,
again, both sides are telling the truth.
Right. And then, like, how they informed him, I guess, is part of it. But, like, we all kind of know how that is, too.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that. Like,
yeah. No, Miller's, like, one of, like, three guys on the team, like, I barely said a word to. Just like, we haven't had any races in common. And
sure.
It's funny how, like, a big team that, because normally, like, all my teammates I've lived in a van with for 6 months. But this year, there's, like, a few guys, like, I saw them at training camp, and then...
There are camps, yeah. Pro Tour's like that. You'll see guys at training camps, you won't see them for the rest of the year.
It's weird. And then some, like I was roommates with Nate Brown at every race for, like, the first half of the year. We were, like, hotel mates.
Yeah.
But, like, my roommate at San Luis in January was Tyler, and I'll never see him again.
Yeah.
Like,
literally.
Different planets. Yeah, no. No, I have to, like... I text him once in a while, like, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, we had a great time. We bonded. And then, you know, it's gone. Relationship over.
Tell me about the book, man. Like, I got the book, but it was sent to me, like, I was never home, so I didn't get the book until, like, months and months after.
Okay.
I didn't go home for, like, 4 months. So, like, I got the book. I think my Swanee bought the book at a bookstore, and then
that's funny.
We were driving across the country, and I made her drive, and then... Because, like, so many of the stories in your book I already know.
Right.
Like, so I could skim hard the book.
Right, you
know?
Yeah,
it was one of those books where you're like, oh, I know that story.
Ben King was like, oh, yeah, I was in this race.
Yeah.
No, like, Ben King was, like, an unnamed person, like, twice, I think, in there.
No, that's the story you do. Like, the story, like, you go and you're like, oh, I feel like I got this.
Right.
But what took me aback, one, it was a very good book.
Thank you.
It was really, really good. I was really, really impressed. It wasn't, some ham-fisted, like, this time I won, whatever.
Right.
It was just, they were, very good short stories, and not always in chronological order, but they were great.
Right.
What totally blew me away, though, and I mean, I already have a lot of respect for you, but what I really, really dug about the book was how you didn't shy away from, like, I don't want to say pulling punches, but you didn't shy away from just addressing facts.
Right.
And that was, I mean, from the opening, like, foreword to, like, talking about everything. Like, it was really, I don't know how you mix, like, sentimentality and truth and goofiness all in the same fuck. Like, did you have that fucking vision at the start, or were you just...